السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over the receivers. Over the past few weeks we have been discussing an incident in the life of Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Ali. He was questioned by Shaykh Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Ali that the 33 years that you spent with me, what did you learn now that you are going? Of course, those 33 years meant that he was coming and going. But probably now he was going far away. So he said, what did you learn? So he said, I learned just 8 lessons. And in those 8 lessons, or from those 8 lessons, we have discussed the first one to some extent, that every person loves something or the other in this world. But at the end of the day, whatever he loves is not going to remain with him forever and ever. It will not accompany him to the grave. It will not accompany him to the akhirat. If the person loves his wife, he loves his children, he loves his business, he loves his home, then there's nothing wrong with that. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made it permissible for a person to love his children. In fact, he has ordered that you must love your wife, children, your parents. But none of these things will accompany the person to his grave. It's just the actions, his conduct, his behavior, his dealings, whatever amal he does, if it is according to the Quran and Sunnah, then that amal will accompany him to the grave. It will be the same world, the same wealth, the same body, the same family, the same business, everything. But it will depend on that amal, that action. If that action is according to the Quran and the Sunnah, it is undertaken for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will cause that action to accompany him to the grave, and it will become a means of his najat, his salvation. If it's a good action. And if it's a bad deed, then the same thing will become a means of problem for him in the hereafter. Last night also I mentioned that whilst I was in another country, one person, he was going on and on that I did this for my father and I did that for him and I helped him out on so many occasions. I paid his debts and I did lots of things he was saying I did. But he says that they don't appreciate it. He doesn't appreciate it. My mother also, I did so many things, but they don't appreciate. They still, their blue-eyed son is someone else, the other brother, and yet he doesn't do much for them. So after having listened to him, I said, the thing is that you are waiting for appreciation in this world. That is why you are disappointed and you are downhearted. Whereas, I said, just remember what I'm saying. Do for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Allah Ta'ala will give you from His treasure. Do for His pleasure, He will give you from His treasure. I discussed this last night, that there's so much of meaning in it, that if the person is going to do his deeds, his actions, solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, if he is kind to some brother, to some family member, to his wife, to his children, if he has done any good for society, if he has assisted and helped in the building of masajid, madaris, he has assisted the widows, the orphans, the destitute and the poor, then if he is going to wait for appreciation, that people must have a big jalsa, welcome him, garland him, and pass vote of thanks, now if they are not going to reach his expectation, then he will withdraw his services after that. Or he will feel depressed because he wants praises in this world. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts good opinion into hearts of people and they praise someone, then that is one of the tafsirs of Atina fi dunya hasana. When we are saying Rabbana Atina fi dunya hasana, O Allah bless us of the goodness of this world, then in this world one of the goodness is this, that Allah Ta'ala puts some good opinion into the heart of someone and the person praises you. So that is an acceptance of that dua. But that is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala if He puts that into someone's heart. But for us to be desirous that people praise us, now when we are not going to get that, then we will withdraw our service. We will pull back. We will not give that same assistance and help that we were rendering. Because it was not for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and the people didn't praise. So we will say, what must I do it for? When people don't even appreciate. So do it for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Then Allah Ta'ala will give from His treasures. His treasures are unlimited. So these things don't accompany a person, his children, his wife, his family, his property, nothing. When a person dies, we look at his car, we look at his home, we look at his family, we look at his bank balance, we look at all his investments in the different companies. Nothing has accompanied that person. He has left behind everything. So he says, therefore I made it my habit of life. In other words, I befriended good deeds. I loved good deeds. I started undertaking good deeds. Whatever is good action, according Quran and Sunnah, pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, I undertake it. He said, MashaAllah, wonderful lesson. We discussed that to some extent. The second thing was that he says, people are looking for respect, dignity, honor in worldly things. They think that the respect lies in worldly things. Everywhere they are searching for respect. Now some person thinks that in his clothes he gets respect. Some people for their cars, they think if I have a very expensive car, then that is something of respect. Somebody living in a palatial home, he thinks that's something of respect. Some king living in a palace, he thinks that now that is something that gives me respect. Whereas those things are transitory. It's just for a little while. And those things don't really bring respect. Those things don't bring any kind of honor and dignity. As I explained, that if a person is wearing very expensive clothes and he considers those clothes to be the means of his respect, so then that means at night when he takes off those clothes and puts his pajama suit, so his respect is gone now. Or if the person was considering the car to be the means of respect, so whilst he was driving that Porsche or that Mercedes-Benz or the Rolls-Royce, so at that time there was respect. And when he jumped out of the car, or the car got hijacked and stolen, then finished, his respect is gone. Does it mean respect? There was a court case that took place in England whilst I was there. It appeared in the newspapers there. That one woman was saying that I am not even given the respect that this wife or the husband was complaining. He was the plaintiff, that my wife does not even give me the respect that she gives to the dog of ours. So when he was questioned, he said, when she's going for a drive, she makes me sit in the back seat and makes Mr. Rover sit in the front seat. So now Mr. Rover, does he enjoy great respect now? This is a true incident, I'm telling you. So respect does not come with material things. Again, in those material things, if the person has got Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his life, he's got the fulfillment of Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the ahkam, then that is what brings respect. We are talking about a Muslim now, the believer in Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the believer in the Day of Judgment. So that is where he will get respect. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will then put that love into the hearts of the people of the time, those who are the pious and the righteous ones. Because sometimes we will say that they never had, the evil ones, they never had love for that Allah's wali. So we are not talking about those evil ones. Allah Ta'ala will put love into the hearts of those who are pious, righteous, those who are dindar. And then from there it will filter through. So nevertheless, what we are discussing is this, that respect lies in akramakum indallahi atqakum. The person who will have the greatest degree of piety, the greatest degree of taqwa, or the most amount of fear of Allah, fearing Allah Ta'ala's displeasure, the person who will do everything to please Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then he will be held in esteem in the sight of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So he says, therefore what I did is I adopted taqwa. And I explained to some extent what taqwa is, that it is not just our outward condition, that it is extremely easy to change our outward condition. It's extremely easy. What is it difficult to change our zahir, that which is outward? How difficult is it to change? If the person doesn't shave for a few days, his beard will grow one fist length. So his face came right according to Sharia. The beard is grown after a few days. He's got his one fist length beard. So the zahir of the face, which was supposed to have been implemented in his life, so that at least on the day of Qiyamah he can say, Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hoon. Haqeeqat isko tu kar de main surat leke aaya hoon. Ya Allah, I've come just with my outward form. I don't have that haqeeqat in my heart. I never did anything with that sincerity that was required and essential. Of course, he must make the effort. But then at least if his outward condition is right, he can say, Ya Allah, I brought the outward condition. Now make it the haqiqat and reality. So after a few days, the beard will grow to one fist length. And it is simple. Go to any shop which sells some kurta, pajama and go and buy one. So 2 minutes time, he can change. So the outward condition, it is not difficult to change. What is difficult is to change the inside. And that is what the Anbiya, the Rasuls of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the Prophets and Messengers of Allah, that is what they made an effort all their lives. To bring about the change from within. This morning one mother was complaining that I took that one cell phone away from my daughter, then she somehow got another one. And I took that one away, she somehow got another one. I told her, you can keep on intercepting the cell phones, you'll never change her. How many cell phones are you going to intercept? How difficult is it for her boyfriend to give her another cell phone? I said, you've got a television at home. She said, yes. She said, no, but she only watches a little. I said, you worried about those cell phones. Get rid of that which is bringing about a destruction of her morals. She's watching all that filth there, and after that she wants to practice and emulate and become like a film actress herself. How many cell phones are you going to intercept? Create that khawf of Khuda inside our heart. Create the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Develop that in our heart. Give us some understanding and realization that she can die and leave this world in that state. Suddenly if there is that shake-up which we had a little while ago, or suddenly if the angel of death has to strike, and at that time if she's got the cell phone and speaking to her beloved boyfriend, what kind of a death will that be? Or if they are indulging at that time in fornication, what kind of a death will that be? Or if at that time they are downloading all the filth that you can now download onto cell phones, what kind of a death will that be? Does any person have guarantee that no, he's not going to collapse suddenly and go? What a Mubarak maut that brother of ours had just a few days ago. He just completed the Salat of Zuhr, came outside the masjid, or inside the masjid he was still there, and he collapsed and passed away. Now 2 minutes before that, he did not know that he was going to go from this world. And how many deaths recently have been exactly like that? 2 minutes before that, a minute before that, he did not know that this was the last salat of my life. But everybody is saying, what a Mubarak maut. Why? Because he was in the masjid, or he was not indulging in any kind of haram action. Nobody knows. Jo aaya hai yahan aaj kal jayega, koi dam mein ye dam nikal jayega. This breathing will stop suddenly. We don't know when it is going to stop. So develop that khawf-e-khuda in a heart. Develop that love of Allah Ta'ala, that how fortunate you are. Allah Ta'ala blessed you with sight, with hearing, with speech, with intelligence. Look at how many people, they are blind, they are deaf, they are dumb, they are paralyzed. So make shukr of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. Don't abuse those ni'mats. The intelligence that Allah Ta'ala has given you, don't abuse it. Speak to them with love, with compassion, with muhabbat. Give them some Islam, some Deen, some Sharia, some Quran, some Sunnah. But who is going to give if the parents themselves are involved in those same sins? Then who is going to give that education? Who is going to make that tarbiyah? Who is going to make that tazkiyah? Who is going to develop that khawf-e-khuda and that muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because if the daughter, according to her, is watching just a little, and we know that that is definitely a lie, then how much they must be watching. So we are not talking about the box. I have repeatedly mentioned that it's not the box, but the contents of that box at present. It is shocking people. People write to us, they tell us, before they came out from their evil habits, what was coming on. So how many telephones and how many cell phones is she going to intercept? The change has to come from within. So that is what takes time. And wherever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has ordered taqwa, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, wherever He has ordered taqwa, or wherever in the Quran Sharif Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala orders a person to do something, then it is not like the government regulations that you have to do this. If you don't do it, then there's so much fine, otherwise you'll go in jail. They don't give you anything further than that. You have to pay your tax. If you don't pay it, then there'll be so much fine, otherwise you'll go in jail. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when He talks about salat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Make your salat with sincerity, with devotion, with complete submission, with complete humility. It will bring you great amount of benefit. It will prevent you from evil actions and deeds. I'm just giving you an explanation. From obscenity, from shamelessness, from behayai. It will be a means. It will protect you. Provided, of course, you do it with sincerity. And you are conscious at that time of the fact that I'm standing before my Allah. When Allah Ta'ala orders fasting, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. I prescribed fasting upon you as I prescribed on those before you. To make it easy, that it is not only for you, people before you also kept fast. Now look at Allah ta'ala. He could have just said, keep fast. If you don't keep fast, then you will be given so much of punishment in the fire of Jahannam. But He said, keep fast because those before you also, they were able to fast. And again, the purpose of that is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become muttaqi, pious, righteous, God-conscious. And then again Allah Ta'ala gives the benefits of all that. When you are going to become muttaqi, then Allah Ta'ala says He will definitely find a way out for you in your problems and difficulties. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. The major difficulty and problem of people today is that they've got all kinds of problems. Or people are complaining of all kinds of problems. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying whatever kind of problem. Allah ta'ala will find a way out for you in your problems. If that person adopts taqwa, piety, then Allah ta'ala will create the means. Because He is the creator of means. Allah ta'ala will create the means. How many people's experience it is. Out of the blue, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala creates a mean. And the person adopts that mean and he comes out of his problem. Allah ta'ala will make him meet somebody or travel to some land where his problem gets solved. So again, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that this is the purpose. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And there are many, many benefits of this taqwa. When it comes to Hajj again, Allah ta'ala gives the same in everything. So this position, this dignity, this honor, this respect that the person is searching in material things, it is not there. Until that wealth is in the person's hands, people will make salam to him and they'll stand up and they'll garland him and they'll welcome him. When the wealth is gone, then what? Respect is gone. But the person who is poor and he's got taqwa, then in the eye of Allah Ta'ala, he is respectable. The person who is rich but he's got taqwa, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala considers him as a respectable person. So it's not how much we have or how much we don't have. All depends on our actions. So he says, therefore I adopted taqwa. Because I saw that that is where respect lies. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. So he says, indeed you have learnt a great lesson, great lesson. And I will just touch or introduce the next point and discuss inshallah if Allah gives life and an opportunity. He says, thereafter I saw that in the Quran, that people, they like to treasure anything that is what we term as of sentimental value, or something that is expensive, something that is valuable, something that is precious. a gem stone or anything like that. He said people like to treasure that. They like to put it in safe boxes. They like to deposit it somewhere, or they like to invest it somewhere. The person wants to invest it or deposit it or save it. He says in the Quran Sharif, when I read, مَا عِنَادَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ وَمَا عِنَادَ اللَّهِ بَاقُ. Whatever you have, whatever, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ. Whatever you have, inshallah I'll explain this. He says it is going to dwindle, it is going to get exhausted, it is going to get wasted, it is going to finish up, it is not going to remain with you forever and ever. مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدُ. The time will come when that thing will be exhausted or wasted or left behind or whatever it is. And whatever is by Allah, then that will remain forever. That will be baqi. Therefore, whatever I dearly loved, he says, I spent it in the cause of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so that I may save it, as we say, in the bank of Allah ta'ala, in the hereafter. So that when I go there, then I may get what I have invested. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of implementing in our lives the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. Because whether we like it or not, we are the slaves of Allah ta'ala. We can say how much we like that we are independent. People who have plenty of wealth, affluence, cars, homes, then they think that they are independent. The person who has good health, he thinks I'm independent. There's no such thing as independence. We are all dependent every breath of our lives on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If we were independent, then we could have extended our lives as much as we wish. Can anybody extend it? It's just that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created this world as a test for us. And there are only two routes that he takes people through, which I have discussed 100 and plenty times. That some people Allah ta'ala will give them plentiful, good wealth, health, prosperity, affluence, good children, good home, everything of the best. But he is testing them for shukr, that how much of gratitude this person shows in whatever I am giving to him. And some people Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give them adversity, hardship, difficulties, sicknesses, diseases, weakness, poverty. And he is testing them for sabr. So the rich person also gets Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala through his shukr. And the person who is poor and in poverty and in disaster state, then he gets Allah ta'ala in his sabr. So nobody is at a loss. Inna Allaha ma'as-sabiri. For a Muslim, nobody is at a loss. As I always say, that for a Muslim, everything is khair. Agar wo, if he becomes rich, then we say he's amir. Agar maldar ho jaye, to amir. Agar gharib ho jaye, to faqir. Or agar neela pila jubba pehen le, to peer. So he's never at a loss. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardships, problems of the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.